coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Michael Wilbon's going to join us here in a few minutes, recapping the top stories. There's been an injury to Quintana on the Cubs. This came out of nowhere.
It's got a lat problem.
Left lat issue. And so he's on the injured list today. Moncada back in the lineup for the White Sox as they take on the Twins once again. Still nothing on the Bears quarterback situation. They had a practice today. They'll have a walkthrough and pads tomorrow, and then they'll take the weekend to look at all the plays.
The competition is officially over. They've said that. The Bears Twitter account has released that. The QB competition is over. Now it's
decision time.
Decision time.
We got a couple of games tonight in the NBA. The Heat lead the Bucks 1-0. And that game coming up soon. And then we've got Rockets Thunder Game 7 after a sloppy but exciting Game 7 last night.
Oh, that was a horrible game.
It wasn't horrible. It was entertaining. It may have been poorly played and poorly shot.
Well, that's what I mean. When I say horrible, I mean the play was not what it had been the previous six games.
Let's talk to Michael Wilbon about that and a lot more. He joins us on the Corona Hotline. And Waddle, he's brought to you by your guys.
That's right. HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Michael, how you feeling today?
As we get deeper in the week, I guess I get a little better. It was certainly a bad start to the week with the death of John Thompson, someone that I got to have a front row seat to the back half of his career. Or the meat of his career, really. And so it's getting a little better as we get toward. I disagree with Tommy a little bit about the game last night. I just thought finally defense won out. I mean, they had to scramble. They had to play the kind of defense they had not really played in the earlier games, and people got desperate because they didn't want to get eliminated. And it's true. The offense wasn't there. That's because guys got in each other. Because a guy like Donovan Mitchell, he pulled a Michael Jordan. He's like, I got this guy. I got him, coach. I don't care what the game plan is. I got him. I want him. When that happens, it doesn't mean you're going to have beautiful offense. So I thought that game last night, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't. But it was dramatic. And I mean, it was contested.
Didn't you see a lot of unforced errors? A lot of layups were missed.
See,
Mike Conley didn't take care of the ball.
But see, I don't think that's – okay, so we come to the same bottom line, right? There were layups missed. But I don't think that's unforced. I think it's forced because guys have been you're looking over your shoulder because guys have been taking charges and blocking shots and fouling hard. I don't think they're unforced, but the bottom line is true. They were not great plays last night. They were great defensive plays. There was not great offense.
Okay, I'll end my my defense here. The council will rest after this. The Jazz shot 38% from the field, 23.5% from behind the arc, and 67% from the line. And the Nuggets shot 37, 26, and 77%. And I would say to you, Michael, that can't all be just good defense.
Why not?
I don't think.
When they shoot 49 or 51 and then 40 from three and 90 from the line, people say, well, nobody's playing defense.
Well,
so
not me.
If it can't be all great offense, not you. Oh, you big offensive guys who put up all those numbers, Tommy
Waddle.
That's
me. That's me, right, yeah. Third and four, I'm lucky if I get 5 yards. I don't know what an end zone looks like.
I don't remember that. I just remember you down the field is all I remember.
All right, well I was usually blocking.
Michael, and I'm with you, because it seems like they roll out of bed these days and score 125 points, you know?
And guys get 50s like Jordan and Wilt.
Yes,
and they get multiples. And so then people get in each other, I was glad to see that game last night. Every game needs to be 130-120, which a lot of games have been. And I wonder what tonight will be. Because the Rockets, look, we know the Rockets can have great games where they put up 140 points. The Rockets also can have a game where they go 0-26. Because the last game 7 they were in, I was there for that. Was that last year? Maybe it was 2 years ago. They missed 26 straight threes. The Rockets are capable of doing that. Now, maybe they did it. They were 3-for-20-something the other night during one stretch. Maybe they've already got that out of their systems, and maybe Westbrook and Harden will play really well. But look, I've seen the Rockets in all forms in the James Harden time, which is what, since like 2013 or 14, like 7 years. I've seen them. I mean, they've lost big playoff games, lots of them, and they've lost from up 3-1 on Golden State. Well, maybe that was Westbrook and Oklahoma City, actually. But those guys were 3-2 up on Golden State. And, of course, Chris Paul, when he was on Houston, got hurt. Now Chris Paul is leading the other team. Chris Paul is having an amazing postseason. You know, I know it's only one series, but even at the time in the bubble and the shots he hit the other night were Jordan-like, hitting those three bombs to tie the game when they were down. I think Chris Paul's been great.
Mike, which team has impressed you most at this point that's left in the bubble?
Boston. I would have said Toronto, but they've lost two straight now. Oklahoma City. I know they've lost three games in their series, but who had Oklahoma City as recently as March 1st? Who had Oklahoma City before the season stopped? Who had Oklahoma City getting to the second round of the playoffs? No, people didn't even have Oklahoma City making the playoffs. They made it, and now they've pushed a team that some people picked to get to the conference finals. They're pushing them.
But you can make
push them out.
You can make a case for Boston, couldn't you? I mean, I'll ask you. I'm not telling you.
I said Boston was the first team I said.
Right. Can you make a case for Oklahoma City winning it all?
No, because they can't beat the Lakers in the next round.
Right.
But Boston can win the whole thing. I mean, I think the Boston-Toronto winner, and by the way, I think Toronto's going to roar back and win game three. I don't know what's going to happen beyond that, but I think Toronto's going to roar back and win game three. Because it's not like Boston won these two games and now they get to, or they won these two games on the road in Toronto and now they get to go home with a 2-0 lead. There's none of that. There's none of that. You got to grind in the same venue in the same circumstance. But I think the Boston-Toronto winner, no matter who wins that series, will beat Milwaukee if Milwaukee can even beat Miami.
Michael, what about Jimmy? You know, it's still a hot topic here in Chicago about how the Bulls decided to rebuild and that he wasn't a one. And I've always been biased. I've been a Jimmy guy.
Me too.
And I get it. He's still never going to be top five, maybe even not top 10, or maybe you'd argue that he is a top 10 player, but he's awfully damn good.
Yep.
And he could get his shot when he wants it, whether it's from outside or getting to the hoop,
and
he can
defends.
Play defense. Yeah, he can
he
play
defends.
Defense.
He's tough. He goes up against LeBron. I got to look this up every year I do. I think he's still got the best record of any player in the game against LeBron James. And, I'm a Jimmy guy. And yes, he's not a number one in that traditional way, but if you can get three guys who are like twos, and Jimmy's the highest two, so Jimmy Butler to me is maybe the 10th or 11th best player in the league, something like that. So I mean, puts him on the line for going to three. I don't care. I want Jimmy Butler on my team. So if you got Jimmy Butler and Adebayo, and you got these young shooters out there, I mean, and a coach who's tough. And by the way, the whole team's tough-minded. The whole team has the personality of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo.
Let me play
the whole team's personality.
Let me play devil's advocate. And in fact, I have money on Jimmy scoring more than 22.5 points tonight. But if you look at Jimmy in Minnesota, there was Cat. Right? He had a guy. Now, again, we can debate how good Minnesota
was. You know what I
said
about 2 weeks ago, you guys asked me about this. And I've always told you I'm on Jimmy's side when it comes to Cat. And who else? And Wiggins? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying. And then the 76ers,
look at the way they went out.
The 76ers.
But look at the way they went out.
Look at the way they went out. They should have kept Jimmy Butler. That Jimmy, especially with the personalities they have. They got a lot of guys who are sort of like, you know, cat personalities as opposed to dog personalities. They got guys who are a little, they can get offended, a little sensitive, you know. I don't want that. I want a guy with Jimmy Butler's personality who is going to say, you know what, LeBron may beat me tonight, but I'm going after him. You guys want to come with me? And if you don't want to go with him, Jimmy's offended by that. Good. He was right. Where'd the Timberwolves go? Back after Jimmy left. Back down. Where the Sixers? Back down. I mean, you know.
Or the Bulls.
Nobody's better off. Everybody's better off losing Kyrie. Nobody's better off losing Jimmy Butler. I know he hasn't won a championship yet. I get it. He's probably not going to win one this year. But if
is he there
what,
for good
if they
in
take
Miami?
Out Milwaukee, if they take out Milwaukee, then I'm not going to say something's beyond him. I love him. And my favorite player doesn't mean I'm saying he's the best player.
Right.
He's my favorite player. And let's face it. Well, I mean, I grew up on the South Side of Chicago. I appreciate guys with some toughness.
He's 30, Mike. Does he finish his career in Miami, barring something weird?
He finishes the real good shots at having a chance in Miami, probably, if he's there 4 years.
We learn, too, just how good an organization the Heat are all the time.
We're reminded. Going back to when they drafted Dwayne Wade and traded for Shaq, they know what they're doing. I'll take Jimmy Butler. In this series, do I still expect Milwaukee to win? Maybe. But I'll tell you what. Tony said this today on TTI, and made me think about it. Miami looks like they have a better team. Not better at the top. They look like they have a better team. And the support players and the bench. Malcolm Brogdon getting traded from Milwaukee trading him to Indiana, bad move. I said it was a bad move when it happened. I was convinced it was a bad move in November, and I'm really convinced now.
I want to ask you one more question about the Heat. Woj came out with a list of candidates for the Bulls coaching. This was a couple of days ago. So, Kenny Atkinson is the only former head coach on the list. There are a bunch of good assistants like Darvin Ham, who is a former player. He's in Milwaukee. Wes Unsell Jr. still coaching in Denver right now. Stephen Silas and Udoka in Philadelphia. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you know him or not, but this name flashes just because of the tree in Miami. Dan Craig has been a guy, and he's an assistant in Miami who started as a video guy in 2008, and he's worked his way up to one of the top assistants in Miami. I see that flashy light of Pat Riley and what they do there and guys who come up through the ranks.
Look how Spoelstra came up.
Right, the same way. Yep. So should I look at that name and circle it, or should I?
I don't know.
Just
I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to see the Bulls do something a little different this time with the head coaching position. That's just me personally. I'm not going to sit here and say that the right choice isn't one of those guys. I'm not going to do that. I know a few of those guys. I'd like to see them do a little something different. And how many coaches, by the way, would they be paying at once? Could they stop paying
Fred?
Yet? I don't know.
Done.
Is he done? And they'd be paying. I'd like to see them do a little something different. But they got to maximize. There's got to be some player development improvement, and they got to take the guys they've got and get them on the court and find out what they can do. Like, can Larry Markkanen play or not? I want to find that out. Like, one month into the season, if they keep him. And by the way, I'm just, like I said last week, I was so scared that I want to draft Obi Toppin, and I'm so scared that Golden State's going to take him and keep him. That's the guy I want the Bulls to take. He's a guy that I see as like a Scottie Pippen-type player who can do all the things and be damn good at them all. And maybe he'll be not a top-line superstar, but like a second-team all-NBA guy. I'll take that and add in the guys they got, and it may push them deep in the playoffs. But I'm scared that the Golden State's going to take him and keep him.
Denver's done a nice job in the past, haven't they, with AK? I mean, he comes from a group that has done a pretty nice job assembling rosters.
Yes, Tommy, they have. And again, you want to see that kind of ensemble effort and the way to put together a team. And, not everything's hidden. Some stuff can be obvious, and you got to make the right move. I started to call you guys to ask you whether the Bears might do that in a couple of situations with players who are available. But with the Bulls, it's like, okay, these guys have earned a shot. You know, they come from successful situations. The process to bring them in seemed very sound to me. People cannot say, well, the owners are meddlesome, because they're not. Jerry and Michael are not meddlesome. They're not. They're not.
I have high hopes for this next page.
Yeah, me too.
This next chapter.
Because I think they're doing it. They're starting it off right. But look, I I've been big on this. I thought the Bulls put together, I thought Gar and Pax put together the right team twice. They lost to LeBron. Each one of those teams lost to LeBron, one on a prayer. One on a prayer from being up 3-1. And so I thought to be up 3-1 on LeBron in the playoffs, I think they built the right team twice. Didn't work. So you give somebody else a chance. Okay, these guys have got a chance. What are they going to build? And when does it start?
All right, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of, I want to hear your Bears thoughts coming up next. And then also want to get your thoughts on these Big Ten talks about bringing the football season. I can't wait for this. Michael Wilbon continues to join us next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Our conversation with Michael Wilbon continues every Wednesday, 5 o'clock. You said you were going to text us. Let me guess. Are you in on Fournette and or Kamara?
Right.
What do you think?
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm old-fashioned enough to care about running backs.
Me too.
So Miami's not the team, I guess, to make the example is there's some games we've seen. Well, you know what? Oklahoma City did it two nights ago. They didn't have a 3-point night. They just didn't have one. And so for basketball, the 3-pointer is what has happened to the passing game in pro football. It's like, okay, everybody's got to have that. Everybody wants to be the Kansas City Chiefs. But you know what? Your personnel may not fit that. And we know the Bears' personnel doesn't fit it because they haven't had a quarterback since 1951 other than Jim McMahon. And if your personnel doesn't fit it, try something else. Is there only one way to win? One of the things I like about Russell Westbrook is he can't shoot the ball at any great level of proficiency anymore. So he says, you know what, at 6'3.5", I'm just going to take it and stuff it down your throat. It works.
Would you prefer just spending a little bit of cash on Fournette versus... Yeah. Now, I don't think there's any chance on this beautiful planet that the Saints are going to trade Alvin Kamara, but so you'd be fine just spending, let's say, $1 million on Leonard Fournette.
Well, even if it's more, what was it, 4.1 he was due this year or something like that? What was that? Was that the number?
Yes, I mean he's a free agent now, so you wouldn't have to pick up that.
You
wouldn't.
Okay, so fine.
I don't
what,
think
two,
so.
$2 million is going to break the bank for a guy.
No, they have money.
You could give this guy the ball 25 times a game. I'm not saying you have to do that. It could be more like 17 to 18 times a game. But you need somebody to take some of the pressure off your quarterback. Neither one of your quarterbacks has ever, I mean.
No, I agree with you. Neither one of these guys can do it by themselves. Both of them
you don't
need
want to
the
ask.
Help of a running game.
You don't want to ask. So in light of that, but you know what? Tommy, pro football more than baseball and basketball. It is so wed to one guy and his philosophy. And my approach in all sports is you can chuck your philosophy. I like Bill Belichick's philosophy. I'll take those 11, I'll beat your 11, and I don't care what they're doing. I love that. That's what coaching and administrating is to me,
having been around
some great coaches and administrators. I mean, I remember the Washington Redskins. They would come in, and Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bethard, they'd come in, they'd have a whole new skill position unit. And you're like, what? And they win the Super Bowl with it.
That's why I think we've all said that yeah, we've got some quarterback issues, and yeah, we've got some other issues, but their desire to not stick to running the football or commit more to running the football last year, which was a coaching decision, was a bad decision, and here's hoping that change will occur this year.
Amen.
So,
amen on that. I'm with you.
All right, so what do you make of, the new talks about the Big Ten possibly returning? Are you buying it or not?
I mean, right now it's a political talk. Oh, wait, look, there's Pennsylvania and Michigan and Ohio and all these states that I, you know, the current president could be trailing in or, you know, I'm in more trouble than I was in 2016. Let me make a fuss over them and football. And if the Big Ten presidents fall for that, I mean, if the Big Ten presidents see something that will lead them to think regarding the science, but I don't want to, I'm not going to turn my conference over to some science denying dude who hopefully will be the hell out of play by November 3rd anyway. I'm not turning my conference over to him.
Well, you don't think any of the Big Ten presidents are going to be pressured into reversing their decision because of that?
I think people are pressured all the time, Tommy.
Really?
Yeah, come on.
I mean in this instance.
What I'm saying, when I say pressured all the time, I mean people get pressured by this guy all the time. You know, I say all the time, why would a guy like Fauci, he doesn't need him. He doesn't need Trump. Fauci could put a tent out right down here on 16th Street, down the street from me, three blocks between here and the White House. And he could say, everybody come for your daily briefings here from me on the coronavirus. He doesn't need the president. He doesn't need the White House. Some people have levels of stature and levels of expertise that they ought to be confident enough they can look at somebody and say, go to hell. Here's what the deal is. Here's what we're doing. Do I think some presidents in the Big Ten have that? Yes. Do I think it's enough to keep the wolf at bay? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
We played earlier the Kirk Cousins tape, and like the headline screams at you more than if you listen to the whole podcast segment. Were mm-hmm. you upset at Kirk Cousins?
Or I'm not upset with him. I just think he sounds like a dope. Ryan Clark, in a very just the most intelligent, surgical way, he just left Kirk Cousins bleeding on the floor this morning on Get Up when he said, look, I played with a lot of tough guys. A lot of tough guys I have played with. I've been in a locker room. I know tough guys when I see them. He said, Kirk Cousins is a fine quarterback. I'd like to have him. But of the 10 toughest guys I would take out of any locker room to run with me, he's not one of them. He's not a tough guy. And I just thought, I'm meant to text Ryan Clark. I'm going to do it when I hang up. Just to say, that was great. So he sounds like a dope, which, you know, it's not the first time. And I kind of like Kirk Cousins from his time here in Washington, being around him a little bit. I'm not offended by what he said. I just think it's sort of stupid.
When he referenced
tell the people that are dying over here, you know, in this part of the world, in this part of the world, in this part of the country, in that hospital and off that respirator, tell them that you're okay with dying. Tell them that.
Just for the record, when he said the comment about .00001, he was talking about his own fear factor, not about wearing masks. So,
okay.
Because we've talked about this earlier.
No, we should always
today.
Clear those things up. Thank you. Thank you, Tommy. I just think, you know, don't say that. And if you want to say it, but then somebody's going to come back and hit you in the head. And it's okay, too.
I think at the end of the day, the most important thing was that he did say wearing the mask is actually out of respect to other human beings. Because the mask, as we've been told, isn't necessarily protecting you. It's protecting others from you. So as long as he's wearing the mask, whether it's reluctantly or not, that's what I'm most concerned with. And if you're going to wear the mask.
I like that point. Although, if wearing the mask is protecting you, then it's also protecting me from you. I mean, it's
right.
Protecting everybody. we just need to wear them.
Yeah, and that's my point, and I've been screaming it for months now. If you want football in the fall, wear your mask.
Yeah. Tommy, you know what? You said that before. I remember one of the first times I was on with you guys, and you said that back in the spring. And I, you know what? You were right, and people need to.
I'm not a doctor.
But I think you've listened to a few in your life.
I have, but I'm not a doctor.
Have you been into the Cubs and the White Sox and what they've been doing here?
Yeah, I have been. The Cubs made me so mad last night I had to turn it off.
6-1. Yeah.
You know, I leave the PTI newsroom. I'm in the car. Don's giving me play-by-play. Schwarber's going deep. We're screaming like it's October. And then I get home. I turn the television on, and the Pirates are in the process of going 6-6. They got to 6-6, and I just said, okay, I can't handle it. But then I got lost in the basketball, to be honest with you. And it's time to get lost in the basketball this week for the next couple weeks. When does the regular season end? How many games have they played?
End of September, and then in October.
So they've played like 35 games already.
Yes.
The Cubs have played exactly 35 games.
Right.
So the White Sox aren't going to get to because they have some cancellations.
They've played 36 to this point.
Oh, they've played 30. That's right. The Cubs had cancellations too.
Yeah. Right.
So with the Cardinals. So, and Cubs-Cardinals this weekend, right?
Yes, like five games I think they're playing.
Oh, my God, again. Jeez, with that.
Cardinals still scare you? Just in general?
Well, yeah, because they're going to finish in second. Aren't the Cardinals a game over 500 today? 14-13
Cardinals
or something like
that? Cardinals are 14-13, yes.
Yeah, they still scare me. They always do. They always scare me. I'm watching. I got the full October TV wall set up going. Three TVs. Tonight, the basketball will be on the 80-inch TVs. And are both are the Southsiders and Northsiders playing?
Yep. Yes. Twins and Sox, another first place showdown.
And Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and Cubs and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'll have all three TVs fired up in Chinese food. I'm just telling you.
enjoy.
Yeah, I'm
excited that we've got this stuff in full gear going.
You didn't think months ago that maybe this day would happen when we'd watch both our baseball teams and the NBA playoffs.
No, I didn't. I was worried that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that's been
glorious, hasn't it?
The case is pretty good, isn't it? On one given night, you can see this. And tonight's got drama. I mean, the whole Chris Paul thing. I got a horse in this race. And so I've got a rooting interest. And I'm excited to see that game. But I'm excited to see Miami and Milwaukee as well, to see if my suspicions about Milwaukee being hurt by the trading of Brogdon and then just sort of being a player short. You know, is Miami going to jump on them tonight, or is Giannis going to have one of those 38, 15, and 10 games and get Milwaukee back in? And I think all that stuff's worthy of watching, as well as, you know, how two teams with expectations in the White Sox and Cubs, you know, Cubs and White Sox in terms of expectations in that order still. Like, how are they going to respond now that we're getting down to some important – we're getting into the stretch of important games, and can you hold on? And I guess, you know, you can go in as a wild card as well. But I want to see how they play and what kind of poise, especially for the White Sox. What – now that there are the first set of expectations these players have had, most of them, what are they going to be like?
Yeah. Before we let you go, Gene Greco just walked into the First Midwest Bank studio. I know how much he loves talking to you.
Mikey.
Say hi to Markey.
What's happening, Mark?
How you doing, bro?
I'm waiting for a quarterback. You got answers?
Oh, my God. I am so sick and tired of this story already.
I know. I
can't take it anymore. And then Nagy
goes
off. My
head exploded earlier in the 3 o'clock hour.
Matt Nagy going off on his minute soliloquy, which we had to edit down, talking about how they're going to make the pick. We're going to look at every snap,
If you didn't know yesterday who your starting quarterback is, I question your ability to identify talent.
This is so
talent.
Disconcerting.
Well, so that
so
means
disturbing.
Either it's one of two things. Either they don't truly know, and it's really we should be terrified.
No, they
or
know.
Or two, it's fake news, and they got to fake it all the way through the naming of the starter.
I'm going with what's behind door number two.
Regardless of whether it's one or the other, next week's announcement means absolutely nothing.
It doesn't.
Because
it means nothing.
Based on the history of both quarterbacks, they're both going to play. Foles is prone to getting hurt, okay? And he had a bad year last year as a starter. Mitch, at his very best, is prone to inconsistency and total incompetence at his worst. And so they're going to wind up splitting it. It's going to be chaos. It's going to go back and forth, and they're going to lose.
Exactly what Markey likes.
And then they're going to lose the opener in Detroit, and everybody's going to go nuts.
Stop. All right, Mike.
So you know how I've been so not down on football, but just sort of uncertain about football and what's going to happen, that I was just getting ready to say to you guys, I don't even know the schedule. Usually by now, I know the schedule, the time of game, the network, you know, when the bye week is. I know all of it. I know none of it. You just informed me they're opening in Detroit.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy tonight, Michael. We will talk next Wednesday. Thank
you. Sounds good.
See you, man.
Be well.
Be well.
Hey, Markey is in the First Midwest Bank studio looking good. We'll talk to Mark Gene Greco coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Speaking of which, what's worse, as soon as you get to a big camp setting, you have to take a swim test. And so we're scrambling to load our gear in the tent, and then you got to throw on your swim trunks and get to the lake. Well, my swim trunks had a zipper in them, and I caught a whole hunk of junk on the way.
No, and not man, like something about Mary.
I got it stuck.
You got what stuck?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. That's so I'm bleeding
Are
in the water.
Really? Get my swim out of test. Here.
Yeah.
It.
Oh. It, well, listen, it's not the end of the world.
Got the old coin purse caught in there.
Why do you have a zipper on a bathing suit?
But that was just,
is that the part of that, the, that, was that's just, the sign
the style,
of the times?
The style of the times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the Frank or the beans?
I don't know. It looks like, I think it's a little bit of both.
You still have a zipper on your bathing?
With horizontal stripes, and they went down to your knees.
And it was a Speedo. That's the funny thing.
Exactly.
It was a zipper on a Speedo.
Well, you know, I need a long zipper on a Speedo, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
There he is, the one and only Mark Jean Greco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Tonight would be a perfect night to sit on the patio.
Yeah.
Beautiful
sure
weather.
And share other intimacies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We could pass on that. Yeah. Story.
As long as you know how to zipper your pants.
Yeah. Well. Hey, David, let me tell you this story about this zip-up bathing suit I used to wear. You can tell all your customers.
Can you believe that I was actually a Boy Scout? And I got to Life Scout, which is one rank below Eagle.
Okay. I've never heard of Life Scout.
And then what happened? You burnt down a church or something?
I went from eighth grade to freshman year in high school, and if you were a Boy Scout in high school, you got the crap kicked out of you as being a geek. Of course, now the Boy Scouts are bankrupt and no longer in existence for reasons we all know.
Isn't one of the things, the skills, you have to learn how to start a fire, which is like sticks or something?
You have to learn how to start a fire, and then at winter camp, which is brutal, you're in a cabin with no heat other than a fireplace. And you have to get an iron skillet, build a fire, and you have to cook a meal outside at winter camp. Summer camp, you have to do the same thing, but it's more of like an obstacle course test. It's like, you know, Marine boot camp.
Right.
So it's crazy stuff.
Did you hear what Waddle had for us the other day? He said that if you ever encounter a polar bear, that you're
there's three rules.
Yeah, go ahead.
Three things that you can do to defend yourself. Have bear mace. Like, if you're going to a polar bear region.
Oh, yeah, I got some on the shelf in the kitchen.
Okay, like you're in Greenland or you're in Alaska, wherever you're at, make sure you have mace or a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have neither and you find yourself confronted by a polar bear, strip naked.
Really?
Yes.
That freaks them out?
What it does is it occupies, as you take off your pieces of clothing and put them down, that the bear will then become interested in the clothing, less about you, and then you should turn and run once the bear's attention has been taken away from you. And Sylvie had the perfect response. Like, once you take all the clothes off, then the bear doesn't have to, you know, spit out all the clothing. You become even more delectable.
Exactly. You're filleted already.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all trimmed up. And don't have any zippers on your clothes.
Yes.
See, I thought you were going to say punch the bear in the nose, because
that's a shark.
Myth,
that's what you're supposed to do to a shark.
Yeah.
Right.
You punch a bear in the nose, and he's going to maul you.
So are there different rules for polar bears as opposed to black bears, brown bears, grizzly bears, Kodiak bears?
I think the polar bears aren't they the most vicious?
Yeah.
I know the grizzly bears, I don't know any of this, but I think the grizzly bears are the biggest, aren't they?
I think so. You know, on Discovery, they have like pound for pound, who's the most vicious animal on Earth?
Right.
And I think the polar bear and the hippo are tied for first place.
I believe more people die in Africa from hippos than any other animals. Because they don't think they're going to be vicious, and they get charged and stomped to the ground.
Let's send Kirk Cousins over there without a mask and see how he does.
Are you mad at him, too?
Oh, my God. Look, so on Twitter, it's like everybody jumping to his defense saying, you know, those quotes were just clickbait. You got to read the whole
interview. We'll play you. Can we do this? Because we don't have time.
No, let's just rip them and move on.
Oh, no. I want
this ignorant moron.
Wait. Because Waddle's on the other side of you.
Yeah, that's silly.
And we don't have – I don't want to get bogged down here. Okay. Let's play it so people can hear. And I also want to bring up something to you today, Mark, that you only know, really, if you've spent years and years in Chicago. And I want to know if this is unique to Chicagoans or if this is like this in every city in the era that we grew up.
Okay.
So it's a topic that I think you'll enjoy. So a couple of things I want to do with Marky coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Check out Ryan Kelly today. It takes only 5 minutes to see how much money they can save you by dropping your rate into the twos. Find out how much money you can save today. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle said it earlier, it's a beautiful day to sit on the patio at Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yes.
They bring you Mark Jean Greco every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, LaSalle on the River. Mark was just there this past weekend. Can't wait to get back there.
It was so fantastic. You know what's cool that I have to do? Kayak at night. They have the kayaks out at night down the river.
Yeah.
You don't think you'd want to do that? Mm-hmm. And then they have the big party boats that will run you over when you're in the kayak.
Chicago Cut has kayaks?
No, but you sit there on the waterfront and watch the kayaks go up and down the river.
Right. I say to myself, I don't want to do that.
Do you have a headlight on the kayak? Because can the other boats see you?
I think they have little lights, but the party boats have big lights, except they're pointed inward to the partiers and not out on the kayak. So you probably get run over. So it's exciting to take the chance.
You know. All right, Waddle, do you think it's important to play the whole thing of Kirk Cousins so Mark can hear the whole thing?
We don't have to waste time doing that. Let's move on to city stuff.
Oh, so you don't want to get into the Kirk Cousins?
Well, if you guys already did it, I just already said, I don't care what he said to clean it up today or
no, this was,
it was
from yesterday.
He was on again today trying to clean it. But I don't think I'm taking it out of context just by reading those quotes. To me, that's selfish and ignorant.
But he's wearing a mask.
Okay, he's wearing a mask.
Okay, well, that's what's most important because he realizes it's more about others than it is about him. So if he doesn't feel... His quote was, his level of fear factor is 0.00001. He's not afraid of it. Whether it's his own feelings or it's his religious conviction that he's not, if he catches it and he dies, he's fine with it.
See,
what's most important to me, and then I'll shut up, is that he wears his mask. Whether or not he feels that it provides him and others adequate protection, to me, is inconsequential. The fact is he wears his mask out of respect to others.
I hear you. To me, though, it sounds like the quote was just trying to be macho and the starting quarterback and the leader by saying, if I die, I die. And I'm ready to take on the consequences.
That's why I thought, like, if you hear it in its context.
I'll email it to you. Yeah.
He's a weird dude. You like that? No. Okay, let's move on.
Here's what I want to know. If you've spent any time in Chicago, like for years,
38 and a half years,
8 months, yes, like Mark and Waddle. Waddle's been here since 89, too.
Yeah, that's what, 31 years?
Yeah, I've been here a long time.
Wow.
Some of our car dealers, and we lost Bob Rohrman today.
I know, that was tough.
And then I also saw that another car, Max Madsen, recently passed away.
No.
Yeah, and his obit, like, ripped the Bears playfully. Let me call that up. I saw that today in Midway Minute. In Chicago, if you grew up in the era that I grew up, these guys were bigger than life. Like Slozy, Edelson.
The Bob Rohrman commercials are legendary.
Bob Rohrman, yes.
Al Pamani was the Pope. He'd give you the blessing with the hand gestures.
So is it the time that we grew up in, or is it Chicago where the car dealers were bigger than life?
I think it's every blue-collar city, especially... Well, I shouldn't say that because I grew up in Cincinnati.
Jeff Weiler Chevrolet in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean,
I should take that back because there are guys in California who are legendary as well. I think it's every city
has their own
goofy, weird car dealer guys doing their own commercials.
Ashley Schaefer BMW.
Yeah.
American Staple. That's right.
Yeah. Shaving cream. Right. I mean, and they're so bad. The commercials are so bad and so poorly done on purpose. That they're legendary.
Bob Rohrman, the best commercials where he couldn't stop himself
from
laughing.
Those are the best, the outtakes from laughing like crazy.
I'm with you, though, Sylvia. I think that, like, when I first got here, the car dealers were legendary kind of stars.
Stars.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, like, absolutely. I enjoyed the heck out of it. And, you know, some of them were really funny. It was very campy, and we all got into it. It was so bad, it was great. Now, my cousin, Frank Downing, captain of the Michigan hockey team back in the 80s. Super smart dude. Great guy. He has a bunch of car dealerships in Buffalo. And he hired a new agency, and they said, you know what, Frank, we're going to go back old school. You need to be the face of the dealerships. And so now he's on every billboard doing all the commercials.
Good.
Except he's like a ripped, handsome guy who, I guess, does it pretty straight. I haven't seen the new batch of commercials.
Is he got his shirt off? How do you know he's ripped?
No, well, because he's a super athlete, and I've had to play against him sometimes, and it's rough. But he is just a class act, so I'm interested to see what his commercials look like, if they're goofy and weird like the 60s and 70s, or if he plays it straight. And he put out a whole thing to all family members saying, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed by this, so please don't rip me too badly, you know? So I'm anxious to see that. But usually it's really goofy guys. Like, who's the guy? I think he's in a yellow suit. And he's just, it's always somebody crazy, somebody.
Right.
Or they're in a straight jacket.
Well, that's like the Max Madsen thing. You may be mad and you may be bad, but I'm not crazy.
Yeah. How about the movie Used Cars? Remember that? That price is too blank and high.
What the blank is this, Rudy? That was the greatest movie ever.
That's old guys sitting around talking right there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So Bob Roorman was a legend.
No, that's what I'm saying. This conversation is two old guys sitting around talking about our favorite movies.
As my kids would say, Dad, that's a really old reference.
Yeah. Our condolences to Bob Roorman's family. I also saw Midway Minute today in their newsletter had the Max Madsen obit. So he passed away on July 26th. Hmm. And this is the first paragraph from the obit that has been publicized now, because it sort of flew under the radar, at least the sports part of it. It says, Max Alden Madsen, age 91, car dealer, beloved husband and father, drew his last breath on July 26, 2020 in Naperville, Illinois. Quote, mainly, we suspect, to prevent himself from having to watch another losing Chicago Bears team go 8-8 and have played in an empty stadium, no less.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's a great parting shot right there. And I don't want to pee all over this, but you know, the old Max Madsen commercials would never air today because the announcer used a Middle Eastern accent, which I never got. And that would be offensive today. I never understood why they did that, but you know, that was a great exit.
Yeah,
that's a great line. Absolutely.
That's why I thought it would be right up your alley to talk about it. And just
fantastic.
If you grew up in the 70s and 80s like I did in Chicago, you're the car dealers and watching all the television shows that were on like 32 on FLD or WGN. They were just, and like even like the Empire guy, you know.
Oh yeah,
you can think of
he passed away too.
He passed away a long time ago, and they still use his audio. They still use him going today. That's him.
Yes.
And like I said, I knew a lot of people in the jingle business and the commercial business, and I actually met him at a party at my friend's house. My friends were jingle singers, and they did, honest to God, they did the Jolly Green Giant, Texaco.
They did my friends. They're jingle singers.
State Farm. They did all those iconic jingles. And I told you the story of Jolly Green Giant. They did four guys. Twins and a set of brothers called the Arbors. And they had the old guy walk in and just go, ho, ho, ho. And he'd get paid for 100
giant.
Years. But the Empire Carpet guy was one of their friends, and he was at a Christmas party. And I'm there. And I'm like a little kid going, there's the Empire Carpet guy.
We did a Bears pregame show piece with him, which was great back in the day. Sweetheart of a guy.
He did a parody for one of the shows.
Yeah.
All right, Bleck and Abdallah coming up next with the baseball show. Boys, what do you got going on besides baseball?
Baseball. Okay, here, quick question. Don't think about it, just answer. For the next decade, Trout or Tatis?
Trout.
Man, you guys are old.
Oh, geez, see, really?
Yeah. What is he, 29, 28?
This mercurial little millennial.
You want to do 37 or you want to do to 27? That's cool.
Well, you said the next 10 years.
That's
so
what I
it's
said.
Not,
the next
right.
10 years. How old is Mike Trout?
That means 29, 30,
okay,
31,
okay, next
10
years,
32.
You want a dollar of Bleck on the other side of the glass.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you to Jason Hayward. If you missed the interview, you got to check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Absolutely awesome. Chuck Garfine, awesome as usual. Off the Gene Greco tree, I might add.
Yep.
Michael Wilbon and the one and only Mark Gingreco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. The baseball show coming up in 2 short minutes. Thanks to Black and Abdallah. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
Where you always save more money.
It's the classic!
That was a big thrill. Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.